Welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. We are still here in Cleveland, Ohio, at the National Stuttering Association annual conference. Peter, I've kind of lost track of how many shows we've done so far.
I think this is episode 212, buddy.
This is episode 212. I think we've done four or five shows, and we're probably going to do about four or five more.
Yeah.
Here with Peter, obviously, and special guest, great friend of Stutter Talk, all around good dude, Dr. Jerry Maguire. Hey, Jerry.
Hey there, Peter and Eric. It's great to be live in the same room with you guys.
Oh, yeah. So you've been on the show a bunch of times, obviously, but yeah. We've never done a recording in person before.
We've never done a recording in person, and we've actually done recordings with Skype and Lightning. If you remember, right. And it never came through.
You've been through the good and bad days of Stutter Talk. I think you were actually on one of the shows where it was raining and the Skype connection kept going.
That's right.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, we want to thank you. This is probably a good time to thank the Kirkup Center for their generous donations to Stutter Talk. The microphones we're using, our new laptop, the Kirkup Center donations have played a big part in that, so thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. No, I want to thank you for what Stutter Talk represents, a great forum for people who stutter.
And in the very chair you're sitting in, Dr. Maguire, we just spoke with a father, Rich, and Rich was quoting you for the better part of 50 minutes, so your speech today got through to a bunch of people.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Actually, what was really cool, too, is that in the seat next to you was Rich's 11 or 12-year-old son, who was also quoting you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It was amazing, yeah.
It was so well-adjusted, it was sort of shocking.
It was a little scary how well-adjusted these two people were.
That's great. Well, that's good. No, it's just, these are just powerful days to be here. You know, I deal back at the university sometimes with budgets and personnel, and you sometimes sit back and you know, this is what it's all about, you know.
It really is, and we're sitting here holding your new book,
Without Hesitation,
Speaking to the Silence and the Science of Stuttering.
Yeah.
What a great title, Without Hesitation. Why the title?
Why the title? Well, I want to find something that was kind of catchy and also a word, some words that really embody what stuttering kind of means, and that people shouldn't hesitate in their lives. They should just keep moving on. So I was thinking of speaking freely as well as a title, but there's a lot of freedom of speech books on that.
Yeah.
So Without Hesitation, I thought was a way to capture that.
I will say to you that when I saw Speaking to the Silence, it shivers. I mean, because, if stuttering isn't battling with silence, I don't know what it is.
So. That's right. Yeah, I wanted to. It's about some about my personal journeys. There's many testimonials from my patients in there as well, too. Some wordings about my brother, who we've discussed on a past show, and how NSA has helped me, and also a lot of information about the various different medications as well.
And we were going to talk with you, sort of do a pre-show talk last night for dinner, but something special happened that pushed Stutter Talk. Eric, what happened last night?
Okay, so we had plans to go to this really great Mexican place.
Modern Mexican, not traditional
Mexican. Mod Mex, right.
Yeah.
So we had spoken to Jerry during the day, and he was totally into it. We were going to meet at 8:15, Jerry, in the lobby, right?
Correct, yep.
And at about 8:12, I get a text message. I am still at the conference session. They dedicated the conference to me, so I should probably stick around. So we're all getting ready to go, and then 3 minutes before you casually find out that they're dedicating this conference to you.
Yeah, that's right. So I was wearing a flip-flops and a Tommy Bahama shirt, and I get called to the stage. So it was a great honor for them to dedicate this convention to me.
Yeah, so you were sending text messages on the stage then.
Right, yeah. I said, you know, I got to let Eric know I'm not going to have some mod enchiladas tonight.
That's great. Well,
I love it. Actually, one other funny story about that, though, quickly.
Yeah.
So we were at Asha.
Yes.
In New, November.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we had made plans before we got down in New Orleans to go out for drinks one night.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So Jerry was giving a presentation. It was a huge room. Like, everybody wanted to go to this presentation, right? And as we're walking out of the room, you know, we hadn't really spoken yet.
That's right.
About our plans for afterwards, you know. So Dr. McGuire kind of signals to me, and he's like, I'll text you, you know. So I at the time was with Joel Cordy, you know, mm-hmm. who is a big fan of yours, and he thought it was like the coolest thing ever. Like, you were kind of like, yeah, you know, we'll get in touch afterwards, in like the middle of this huge presentation. It was really cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, text messaging is a great invention, because you can, you know, act like, you know, you're on stage, and it's like, you know, I better let Eric know that I'll meet him for a pitcher or two of beers in about an hour.
Or three.
And frog legs.
That's right. And some fried frog legs and some other random stuff.
Yeah, really, exactly. Yeah.
I'm just impressed that you guys keep trimming down and I keep getting bigger. What's going on here?
Well, I can make you bigger with some of the medicines if you read about in the book there. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's a problem.
Well, let's get to the book.
And sure.
It was literally just released a few hours ago.
That's right, yeah.
Literally, so we will be honest and say we have not read it.
Yep.
We've leafed through it. We've not read it. And going through the book, well, there's a lot to talk about here. First of all, the book, without hesitation, is available at westutter.org, the website for the National Stuttering Association. And the proceeds are going to the National Stuttering Association.
That's right. So 50% of the proceeds go to the National Stuttering Association. 50% go to the Kirkup Center to support further research and education such as this. As well,
you cover a lot of things in the book, the history of pharmaceuticals and medications, but let's start with your personal journey.
Yeah.
What do you reveal?
Well, I talk about as a kid, growing up as a person who stutters, I talk about being a member of the club that I joined NSA before I began doing research in stuttering. So I'm a person who stutters who went into doing research and treatment on this disorder. So I'm going with kind of a perspective of first a little boy who went through speech therapy as a kid, and then even as an adult, and then my own journey is trying to figure out what's going on in my brain and how I was in medical school and residency, and then my own path through NSA and going to my first convention. And so the growth of me, not only as a human being, but as a person who stutters and eventually as a physician who treats and researches this disorder.
Now, today during your presentation, I'm trying to find a way to say the joke without ruining it. So
sure.
Here's how I'll lead you in. You have considered, you've come up with perhaps a revolutionary new drug idea. Do you want to share it with us?
Was that the name?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was thinking that it would be really cool to have a commercial of a medication. And whether there ever is a medication that gets FDA approved for stuttering, we'll have to wait to see. But if it does, I thought of the name. But first, I want to go on record so no one can copyright it other than Stutter Talk and UC Irvine. Yeah. But are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Conversol. What do you guys think?
Conversol.
Oh, wait. So if this was to be on television, right, what would it sound like?
It was like, ask your doctor if Conversol is right for you.
And
side effects may include.
Yeah, right.
So
great game.
Yeah.
Erectile dysfunction.
But with all seriousness, so the joke I'm going to say Conversatol, which is already
that's
wrong.
A good one too.
Okay.
Conversatol, but it sounds like Geritol.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
Yeah,
but
I was thinking Fluentia. But
Fluentia.
It sounds like you get. I was thinking that would make you kind of ill, though. You know, like that's getting the flu. Yeah, I was thinking like Lorator, like speaking like an orator. I was just writing down all these names, good. You know.
Well, I mean, the place was pretty quiet until you got up, and all of a sudden, everyone was laughing from their bellies. So you touched something in the people. So, like, what is it? What's the link between your personal journey and your professional work?
You know, it's interesting, Peter. It's the first time I ever really gave a talk where people wanted to listen to me, outside of people who had to listen to me, which were my students who had to go to class, was at the NSA. Mm. So it was a certain kind. That was when I gave the keynote at the Buffalo conference. I was at 97, 98.
Was it that long ago? Yeah,
it was, that long ago, yeah. So it's a special bond. As a person who stutters, everybody else who in that room stutters or has a connection to stuttering. So you can just be free. You know, the word letting go really means a lot. It's also part of my growth as a person who stutters. I tried to hide behind my stuttering for so many years. I remember when I was a resident on call at the hospital, my first year as a resident, and the nurses would page to a particular inpatient unit rather than return the call, and I wouldn't say, "This is Dr. McGuire, how can I help you?" I would memorize what each extension of the hospital was, and I was in much better shape then. I would run there rather than returning the call. And I said, "Well, I could be there in 2 minutes." And then the nurse is like, "Wow, what an attentive doctor." Mm. We page this person, and rather than just returning the call from, you know, the sleep room, he runs here. Yeah. You know, what a – every now and then you get two calls at once. It was kind of hard. But I was able to manage – I mean, we talk about avoidance, right? But it's what and then to go through that growth as a physician and where you learn a lot about yourself by treating others and that acceptance that I have. So that bond where hiding for so many years about my speech and now it's a focus of my life where I was trying to hide it for my whole life. Yeah. You know, one time there was an article, it was in the Orange County Register about when I did my first PET imaging study of stuttering. And the reporter thought it was, wow, this is really kind of cool. You're a person who stutters and you're doing research on this. It was kind of like a little, okay. I just thought, well, I just, you know, this article came out. And there it was on the front page of the newspapers, made it on the wire service back then. Dr. Gerald McGuire, a stutterer, found research. I'm like, wow, first page, man, I really can't hide it anymore. Mm. You know, there's no more running to the inpatient units, you know.
Well, as I was leafing through your book, at the very beginning, you talk about how for some people who stutter, stuttering can suppress who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have ever asked you, but how much do you think stuttering at one time in your life suppressed who you were or who you wanted to be?
I think a tremendous amount, unless people, you know, people who really knew me, you know, I think it's hard for people to, who stutter to break the ice, so to speak. And for people who I was comfortable around, it was much easier for me. But it's tough to break the ice. I really didn't come out of my shell till after joining NSA and beginning medication work and the self-help with that. And it was all a combination. And then just the self-awareness that shouldn't have to be ashamed anymore. So, yeah, I would say it was a big, not with my family or close friends, but with others, absolutely.
Grant me one more statement.
No.
The father we just spoke to was sharing with us how, as a father who wants to protect and care for his family, he would spend any amount of money on that one thing if he was sure there was that one thing for his son. And he said, he just kept praising you, Dr. McGuire. And he said, you know, Dr. McGuire, he gets up there and he just tells us like it is. Yeah, these medications might help. Some more than others. And it's a whole package. You know, there's different ways to measure how you're doing, and there's different ways to make changes. And maybe the medications are one part, and self-help is another part, and it all goes together. But he really appreciated just your honesty about it. Like, he basically was saying Dr. McGuire wasn't selling some type of snake oil. It was just like, this is what it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, because there has been a lot of snake oil. And I know that when people think of medication, well, I'll take a pill, everything's cured. Boy, where would I be if I told people that? You know, I'm a person who stutters, and I've heard that. The last thing I want to do is to ruin the lives of others by giving them false hope. So just be open, transparent. Tell them what you know, that no medication currently is a cure. Maybe at some point we heard some really exciting work with the genetics research that you could actually create, or at least for some people, a medication that's an enzyme-correcting medication. Yeah, maybe, especially even younger children, you correct the deficiency. We're not there yet, but there's hope, I would say. At best, we have treatments, and like, you know, not all treatments work for everybody, be it for high blood pressure or diabetes. And I don't think stuttering will be any different if we actually are able to find medications that are effective. They won't be effective in all people, and they won't be 100% effective as well, too.
Do you think what helps to make you so persuasive, or do you think people listen to you and believe what you say because you also happen to be a person who stutter, or what role do you think that plays?
Yeah, you know, I think it helps me a lot from a credibility standpoint, not only for the stuttering community because I stutter, but I was worried going into medicine and going into psychiatry, which is the most verbal field of all of medicine, that maybe patients wouldn't connect with me because of my stuttering. And so I was actually told by, and I talk about this in the book some, that some of my professors in medical school try to discourage me from going into psychiatry. Actually, you know, why go into medicine if you stutter? Mm. And I learned as a second-year resident, one of my first patients I saw for psychotherapy, and she had suffered from depression for many years and had seen many psychiatrists. Ended up seeing me because I didn't cost much, I think, for the university. She was a teaching case.
The guy that stutters.
So if you see our stuttering psychiatrist, he costs a hell of a lot less money.
Yeah. Discounted rate.
That's right. So I went up seeing her, and then I was stuttering a great deal in my first hour therapy session with her. And at the end of the hour, she said, "You know what, Dr. McGuire? I can see that you struggle with something your whole life, so maybe you'll be a physician who can really understand what I've been going through my entire life. So I'm going to really enjoy working with you." I should have paid her, really, for that fee. So it got me thinking, you know, this level of transparency and being open. I think so often physicians try to take the paternalistic role and not reveal, but we are human, you know, and we're not perfect by any means, and just be open about who you are, what you know. I've explained to my patients, you know, I don't know if this is really going to work. I believe, based upon my education and my knowledge, but also based upon these tests or that test, that we have this probability that would work. But I'm going to be there for you, and if this doesn't work, then I'm going to keep working with you till we find something that does.
I like how you said that, and the reason that I asked that question is because when we were listening to Rich and his son, Nathan, they seemed really at ease that, you know, you were a doctor, you had all of these accomplishments, the conference is dedicated to you, and your person who stutters. And it just really put them at ease. And I like how you just said, you know, just being able to show people that you're open is a great way to get people to understand this really hard to understand disorder, you know. And it doesn't have to, a person doesn't have to be a person who stutters, but it does give us a way to really be open and then gain that trust from all these people we're talking to.
That's right, yeah. So being open, being one of the crowd, knowing that I joined NSA, you know, I was just out of medical school at the time, you know, hadn't published an article on this or anything at that time.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know.
So what was the motivation for writing the book?
Well, I receive, especially after each Stutter Talk episode, probably about 20 emails a day from people from all over the world. And they want to know, hey, what about this medication? You ever heard of this? I also, you know, patients will write, I have depression. What's the best antidepressant for me to take? So I thought there was a need. And also trying to find a way to further support the National Stuttering Association, which has really helped me over the years. To put my thoughts into print, work with a great co-author, Lisa Wither, who's a freelance writer. She's worked with us at the university. And because I write too much like a physician, I needed to have someone else read it and say, you know, to say, you know, in this double-blind placebo-controlled trial of with an active comparator, blah, blah, blah. No, I can't write like that, you know, for this book. So so she helped me form the words over there.
I got to say, though, when you're talking in front of a group, you don't talk like a physician.
Well, I'm hopeful, yeah. I hope I came across.
An 11-year-old boy and his father quoted you today.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Well, I mean, you speak to people.
Thanks, Peter.
And as I leaf through your book, it's so interesting. I think it's one of a kind. Well, it's definitely one of a kind, but what I mean is you talk about your own experience. You talk about briefly the history of different types of therapies. You talk about the history of pharmaceuticals. You talk about self-help and why it's so important. And you talk about your own family.
Yeah.
And you really, I mean, so you're pulling in a lot of different areas. And I'm not going to obviously say the person's name, but when I was at your book signing,
yeah,
picking up your book, standing next to me was somebody who I think probably has about as far different philosophy as approach that I do towards stuttering as can be possible. And that person was also buying your book. You know? So it's interesting. I think your book might have a wide audience, might reach a lot of different people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were taking that into account when you were writing it, but from who was buying your book, I could tell that a lot of folks from different, I dare say, philosophies will be reading it.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I really want to. To please let me know what you all think of the book. I don't know if there's going to be a Without Hesitation Twice, or whatever we call it, like Die Hard Again, whatever they're called. But we'll have to see. Well, you know,
we can't ask you to summarize all of the history of the pharmaceuticals.
Sure,
but what are there any things you when you were writing the book?
Yeah.
And you finish it, you went through all your drafts. Was there anything regarding the pharmaceuticals that you thought, I've really got to get this across? There really has to be this take-home point.
Yeah. I think the take-home point is that we do have treatments out there that we've studied that are available, are approved for other conditions that we have found to be effective for stuttering. Now, not in huge trials, and they're not marketed for stuttering, so there's not a lot of press behind them or marketing machines behind them. But for those individuals who have failed speech therapy, are not achieving the results that they like through whatever therapy they have, it is an option to discuss with their physician. Not necessarily say there's going to be first line until we actually have better studies for that, but that people don't necessarily need to suffer in silence out there, and that also that our research is going to continue. It's still relatively in its infancy. And just to hear Dr. Drina at the program talk about, hey, this is not a disorder that you learn as a child. This is a disorder we really understand. There's a strong genetic component for many individuals that this is a brain disorder. That doesn't mean it's not amenable to therapy. That doesn't mean it's not amenable to self-help. It is. But it also means that there's a different line of research that we should really take. And we're going to continue that.
I want to remind everyone, this is Stutter Talk. We're speaking to Dr. Gerald McGuire and about his book, literally hot off the presses, released today, Without Hesitation, Speaking to the Silence and the Science of Stuttering, available at westutter.org, the website of the National Stuttering Association. Proceeds going to the NSA and to the Kirkup Center. You have a chapter on your brother, Charles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've spoken to you about Charles, and we know it's an important and tough topic.
Yeah.
Why did you include a chapter on Charles?
Well, my brother, of course, is a person who stutters. He was a member of the NSA. And I went to the Buffalo Convention with him and the Boston Convention. And a year after the Boston Convention, my brother suffered from depression, I think in large part secondary to his stuttering. Also, there's a biologic depression in our family as well. And my brother took his own life. He passed away from suicide. And I talk a little bit about Demosthenes in there, who's one of the great Greek orators who also stuttered, who also died at his own hand, interestingly enough. And I don't want to end on that sad note, but it's the most difficult time in my life is dealing with my brother's passing. But I want to know that in his memory that were going on, and where I'm dedicating my life to finding a better treatment such that people don't have to suffer in silence. I still receive emails every day from desperate individuals who've kind of given up because stuttering has taken over them. I don't want them to lead that way. I want them to know there's hope and to go on, and there's so much more to life. Just because you may stutter, you may have difficulty forming your words, it doesn't mean that you're not a good communicator and that you don't have something else that you can offer people. And it's hard. It was my journey in writing that. I cried, even getting choked up now, just thinking back to my brother. Many of the longtime NSAers remember him, of course, and so I dedicate that last chapter to him. It's a growth for me as a person, and knowing that I'm never going to give up on this.
I was at a really incredible parent roundtable, and it was so incredible that I invited a bunch of the parents to come to a stutter talk. And one of the mothers was sharing, it was just incredible, a first timer, and she has a young teenage son, I think he was like 13, and he just won't leave his room, and mm-hmm. he's so unhappy. And she said, "No, I think this is depression. Is this depression? Do I drag him out of his room? What do I do?" And with all my experience of stuttering, I sat there like, please, not that anyone would call on me, but I'm like, what do you, mom's asking, right. What do I do? Yeah. And all the mothers knew, and all the mothers are like, you're here. You're doing the right thing. You're seeking help. You're looking for professionals. You've flown across the country to attend self-help. And the mother did have at one point the mother said, is this depression or is this stuttering? And I thought, let's ask Dr. McGuire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be both.
Yeah.
Right. You know, most people who stutter don't not leave a room. Most people who stutter do not take their own lives. They're not end their lives because of suicide. But it's not to say that stuttering and depression don't coexist at times. It's not to say that probably stuttering, if you're biologically predisposed or have other difficulties in your life, that you wouldn't have a greater risk of depression. It's there. Okay. As we've heard from other speakers, stuttering just means you got to work that extra, that extra effort in job interviews and getting through life. And it's not easy, and especially as a young kid. And I'm glad the mom was there. I talk about in the book that, you know, at least we're talking about stuttering, guys. You know, NSA didn't exist 30 years ago. There wasn't an outlet for people who stuttered. People suffered in silence for generations with this disorder. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's great that there's forums such as Stutter Talk where people can say, hey, no, I'm not alone out there. Yeah. There's other people out there with this.
Well, we always appreciate your time, and we always appreciate you coming on, Dr. McGuire. So let's just remind everybody where they can get the book.
Yeah, so it's currently listed on the National Stuttering Association website under the store section of their website, www.westutter.org, under the store. And the title of the book is Without Hesitation, Speaking to the Silence and the Science of Stuttering.
And perhaps it's worth noting, it's not a book for academics.
No.
Academics will buy it and read it, but I haven't read it. But I've
because they're people too.
Well, I will say to you this right now, when we have prepped for shows with you, Dr. McGuire, there is no source for the history of pharmaceuticals, and it looks like you just put one together.
That's right, yeah. And it's a guide. It's a guide for individuals out there who may be taking medications that affect the brain, so that they can know how it may affect their stuttering.
And I was pleased to see that you have some families, some people who stutter, sharing experiences in the book too. It's not just your voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So special.
So before we let you go, though, so there was some reference in your talk this morning. Do you have Pagaclone updates?
Updates, yeah.
Updates. So we are. What is happening with Pagaclone, Dr. McGuire? Everybody wants to know.
So we've completed the double-blind trial, and We are awaiting official word from the study sponsor, which is Endo Pharmaceuticals, on a release of the data. Unfortunately, based on my confidentiality agreements that I have with the trials, I can't release those data in written form. I was able to present the information to those who were in the room today at the NSA, and I believe Stutter Talk has contacted the company, and hopefully you'll be hearing us soon what their release is.
So would it be fair of us to ask you for a hint?
Wouldn't be fair. No, I'd like to, but no.
I was kind of joking around.
No, I understand. I mean. But the minute it's publicly released from the company, if they grant me the right from a confidentiality viewpoint for me to go on the air, I know to give Peter and Eric a call.
We appreciate that. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate your contribution with your work and this book to the stuttering world. So thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
It's called Without Hesitation, again available through the National Stuttering Association.
That father who we were telling you about, I just realized he was quoting you all day. We asked him about, he used the phrase without hesitation a couple times.
He did?
He did. I'm like, where am I?
That's a good name, man.
That's a good name. It works.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, thank you, Dr. McGuire.
Thank you, Peter Eric. Thank you.
Stutter Talk at stuttertalk.com. Stay tuned for more shows live from the NSA, National Stuttering Association Annual Conference in Cleveland, Ohio. Drinks later, Dr. McGuire.
Sounds good. Thanks.